about your average workday for a sec. Do you come in right at your designated time and then leave exactly when the clock strikes knockoff? Chances are you mean to, but there's always like one more document you need to send, or when you get home, your phone pings because, of course, you've got your work emails connected to your phone. And before you know it, you've donated an hour of your time just tidying up loose ends. Well, the National Right to Disconnect laws were meant to tackle work-life imbalance. They came into effect last August, but not much seems to have changed because we're still working for free. The average Australian worker does 3.6 hours of unpaid overtime a week. Today is National Go Home on Time Day, so we're talking about it, and I would love to hear from you. If you've learned to switch off somehow, could you please share your secrets? With me is Fiona McDonald, who's the director of the Centre for Future Work. Fiona, I'm surprised that we haven't seen a change in the unpaid overtime hours that we're doing.
Yeah, we have seen a bit of a change, I think. We haven't seen much change between last year and this year, a very small change. But we did see quite a significant change last year. And the fact that that's been sustained for full-time workers, at least, and perhaps is it a little less, does indicate that we could be seeing unpaid overtime for full-time workers on a slow decline. It's a lot less than it was a couple of years ago when full-time workers were doing an average of 6.2 hours unpaid overtime a week in 2023 compared with 3.8 hours this year.
That is a really big difference. Like, that's effectively a halving. Mm. So is it a cultural thing that's changed, or is it these laws that have shifted the needle, do you think?
Well, I think it's both those things. I think the laws have potentially, what's happening is the laws have shifted some workplace cultures a bit because we saw the drop last year rather than this year, even though the legislation had only just come in. But we know there's been so much discussion about it, and there was so much discussion about it prior to them coming in August 2024 that. And there has subsequently been a lot of discussion about the need for workplace policies, about changing cultures generally. And so, and maybe it's just that we're seeing workers, that difference happening without it having to be the actual laws, without people having to take individual cases, for example, to the Fair Work Commission. We're just seeing a shift in practices.
Are there particular industries where you see more unpaid overtime than others?
Yeah, there are. We see quite a bit of it in construction, which is kind of not surprising when we have a lot of building going on. We see it a lot in retail and hospitality, which is...
That's not what I would have expected.
No, well, that's really interesting because when we look at the unpaid overtime and where it's happening, it appears to be part-time workers whose unpaid overtime is not reducing. And that is, a lot of that is in retail and hospitality. And that kind of makes sense in a way because if you think about a lot of part-time jobs, it's actually, they're less likely to be impacted, I think, by the right to disconnect, because part-time work in those industries tends to be having to come in a bit early or leave a bit late to, you know, prepare for example, in a cafe, to make sure you're ready for the customers before you open the doors, or to clean up at the end of the day. Or perhaps we see it also in healthcare and social assistance. Nurses are doing patient handovers. You know, there's an ongoing complaint that there's never enough time to do those. Social care workers, that's another area where people are providing support to people in the community or in their homes, and they're facing unpredictable things every day in those kinds of jobs, as well as they have a chronic complaint of never having enough time to do their admin. So those are the part-time jobs where the spillover is not about being contacted after work or not being able to switch off, which is probably a problem more for professionals and managers, and we see that they've got high levels of unpaid overtime still. It's a problem of your job just being a bit too big.
You're listening
to be able to do it.
You're listening to Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, talking with Fiona McDonald, who's the Director of the Centre for Future Work at the Australia Institute, about the fact that it is go home on time day today. And even though we've had our right to disconnect laws in effect for more than a year now, we do seem to be doing about the same amount of unpaid overtime as we were a year ago. Although, as Fiona notes, it's a lot less than we were doing a couple of years ago. And I'm asking you if you've learnt to switch off in some kind of way, if you've got tips you might want to share with me and anyone else listening. One person says, I do my 8 and hit the gate. Another says, I flip the cards. I'll take work calls after hours, but I'll take personal calls at work, with a winky emoji. Tim says, it's important to remember that work has changed radically in the last few decades and that many people like me have multiple jobs, very small numbers of hours, which are blended into a domestic life because, as well, so many of us work from home. I'm not sure this kind of question is relevant anymore. Fiona, is it still relevant to be talking about this?
Yeah, it is still relevant. Perhaps the moniker that we've given it, go home on time, is perhaps less relevant for many people. But unpaid overtime is very relevant. Most of us are paid on an hourly basis for the time that we work. And if we just take the average unpaid overtime that people reported this year in our survey, it was 3.6 hours a week. Now, that doesn't sound like an enormous amount, but that was equivalent to more than nearly 12% of their paid hours. So for more than for every 10 hours they work, they're working more than 1 hour unpaid for every 10 hours they're paid. And that amounts to 173 hours over a year. And for an employee on a median wage rate who was working full time, that's $305 a fortnight, or nearly $8,000 a year. So while people's jobs might be more flexible and we manage our own time a lot more in different jobs, if we're all doing excessive time compared to what we're being paid for, that's a problem. And I think it is still really relevant.
Yeah, $8,000 a year would go a long way. Yeah. Also with me is Dr. Ben Searle, who's an organisational psychologist, consultant and researcher. Ben, hearing what Fiona's talking about here, how does that gel with your understanding?
Oh, look, that is absolutely the experience of the people that I speak to, Tegan. It is very much an experience of doing more than is noted as the expectation of the role, but it is, we're still seeing that even with some change, we're still working long hours. We have this idea of ourselves as a laid-back, easygoing country. Even last year, we were working more hours than half the countries in the OECD. We're working more hours than people in Japan. We're working more hours than people in the UK.
That's interesting. I don't think I thought it was. We sort of do, like you say, think of ourselves as being pretty laid back, or on the other hand, I think I thought this was just a function of being digital. A lot of the time, our work does follow us home because it can now. But what I'm hearing from you is that other countries with the same technology as us don't seem to have the same culture as us.
I think culture is part of this. These stories we tell ourselves about being a laid back and easygoing culture are just stories, but something that is more concrete about the cultural experience in Australia is that we are a low power distance culture. And so a lot of the ways that work is expected, or the ways that people are encouraged to do work, is done indirectly. So in a lot of these workplaces, people aren't being told, oh, we need you to work an extra 3 hours this week that you aren't being paid. It is done through these indirect means. So sorry to everyone who is neurodiverse out there, because this is an unwritten rule that might be occurring in your workplace. So we see it through modelling. We see it through seeing what your boss does. We're seeing what your co-workers are doing. Everyone else is still in the office at 6 o'clock. And I thought, oh, shouldn't we have gone at 5? If you're getting emails from your boss at 9 p.m., you know, that communicates a couple of things. It communicates sort of an expectation that you're checking your emails after 9 p.m. But it also communicates, well, if you want to get to the level where your boss is at, you probably ought to be working to that sort of hours.
On the text,
so I think those things do have an impact, yes.
No, I was just going to put this question to you, Ben, because on the text line, someone says, it's your own responsibility. Arrive on the dot and leave on the dot. If you stay late, work a shorter day tomorrow. I love that energy. But if what you're saying is right, Ben, this is cultural thing there, it feels like you do need to help shift the culture. Like, do you have some scripts you could share on how to have these conversations with your colleagues and your boss?
Oh, look, yeah, absolutely. There are ways to have, you know, open and honest conversations with your peers, formal conversations with your boss to just, you know, to clarify the expectations. What are your expectations of working hours here? But ultimately, I mean, there is a responsibility of employers to create mentally healthy workplaces. And part of that responsibility is clear expectations. And you know, they bear responsibility for some aspect of the surrounds within which people are working. And it's not a minor thing. I mean, it is true that there are some people who benefit from the flexibility. You know, my wife has a disability and she works from home and she prefers to be able to be flexible with her hours. But there can be a cost. When we're thinking about work out of hours, we're not getting the same recovery benefits of being able to rest and recuperate.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor with Dr. Ben Searle, who's an organisational psychologist, consultant and researcher, and Fiona McDonald, who's the director for the Centre for Future Work, talking about the right to disconnect, the unpaid hours of overtime that so many of us are doing every day, every week. It adds up, as Fiona was detailing before. And I'd love to know what your relationship with unpaid overtime is. One person just says, unpaid overtime teachers, followed by 7 exclamation marks. As someone who has a family of teachers, I think I know what you're getting at. Another text says, working as a counsellor in part-time private practice, the number of unpaid hours is enormous. Many people think the 1-hour fee for services is too expensive, yet they don't consider the admin, promotion, accounting, managing bookings, case notes and reports. Well, Fiona, do you think we're ever going to get to a stage where we shift the culture enough that we're not doing this unpaid overtime?
Tegan, I'd like to think so. I think we are making inroads where it is white collar full-time work because large organisations are having to think about that because of the right to disconnect legislation. Where I think we've got some really big problems is in those industries where such as you've just and jobs that you've just spoken about, where jobs are just sized to be too big. And they seem to be, if we look at our survey results this year, the bigger problems now seem to be perhaps with part-time jobs. So jobs where, again, you don't have that admin time, you're not given the time to do the admin, and there's a very large and growing care and support workforce who provide support in people's homes and the communities who have that as a chronic problem. Hospitality and retail jobs have that as a chronic problem. And problematically, they're the kind of lower paid jobs, and they're the jobs that are done by many young people who are, for whom it's very difficult for a young person, potentially very difficult for them to raise this issue in that kind of work environment. And I think we do need, while as Ben suggested, there are lots of ways that individuals can raise these things in work. I think that's easier for you if you are in a higher paid role, or if you've been in the workforce a while. If you're a casual or a part-time retail or hospitality worker, a young person, it's really difficult to do that. And I think we probably need some more institutional responses to that. We need perhaps some more transparency around the unpaid overtime that's being performed in workplaces. Because we know it is. We know it's rife in many workplaces. And it's not, you know, we ask in professional and managerial occupations, people kind of feel like it's their responsibility and their choice. And while it might not be, because to do a good job, you might feel like to do the work that you need to do, you feel like you have to put in more hours. And I think teachers are a very classic case of that. They want to do a good job. Nurses want to, you know, make sure that they have time, do a proper patient handover. Casual tutors in universities, you know, need the time to mark papers and they're not given it. But I think if for lower paid workers, it's really difficult for people to have those conversations, and we actually need some different responses. The right to disconnect is great for people who want to switch off from being contacted on phone and email, and that's the problem, but that's not the problem for everybody.
Yeah, not the only problem. Fiona, Ben, thank you both so much for joining me. Fiona McDonald is Director of the Centre for Future Work at the Australia Institute, and Dr. Ben Searle is an organisational psychologist, consultant and researcher. Loving your texts. Anna says, I do not have work email or Teams on my phone. Then when I finish work, my private life is private. Another says, I'm a partner in a law firm. I value productivity over time in office. If the work is done, they can leave early. No expectation of reasonable overtime, and work hard to enforce quality of life over hours in the office. In a culture that values overwork, we work hard and smart, not long.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.